Hello, American government and civics. Welcome to your review for the executive branch test. It covers the president and the bureaucracy. We've spent about 2 weeks on this stuff. Let me get started so we can get through this pretty quickly. The review guide is on Google Classroom if you want it. I did not provide you a hard copy. Remember, if you type in the answers, then you can turn it in, submit it for some extra credit on the test. All right. So here we go. The bureaucratic agency responsible for food. Now that's kind of a responsible for food. That's a broad question. It probably should say really the safety of food. And this can be the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA. And they're going to make sure that the food we eat is safe for us and healthy. I shouldn't say healthy, but okay for us to put into our bodies. The cabinet position for enforcing laws is going to be the Department of Justice. They're going to be the ones that handle a lot of the leveling charges against people and that sort of stuff if they've broken federal law. The Treasury Department is responsible for. They produce our money. All right, so Congress gives an order. Hey, let's make a new $20 bill. Let's make a new $10 bill. Let's print off more money. That goes to the Treasury Department. They'll also manage the government's monetary accounts, and they'll also be the ones typically responsible for enforcing financial and tax law. Presidential checks on Congress, the big one, really the main one they have is the veto power. Okay, they can veto laws that Congress sends to them. All right, the roles of the president. Chief executive, this is where they're going to enforce the laws. That's their main job, their main responsibility. Within this, they'll also pass executive orders. They'll also appoint leadership positions to help them enforce the laws and things like that as well as the chief executive. The leader of the party, this is where they're going to endorse other party members. So don't get it confused, think they're in charge of their party. It's really them being kind of a cheerleader for the party, but a big one because people, when you think of the party, you know, whether it be the Democrats right now or the Republicans when Trump was in office, you typically think of the president. And so they have a lot of pull there. Commander in chief is typically the easiest one. That's where they are in charge of the military. All military decisions go through them. Head of state, chief citizen, this is them in non-governmental roles. So when the president is out there visiting an area that has been affected by a natural disaster, when they're out there throwing out the first pitch for a ball game or whatever it might be, something that they're not really making any kind of decisions that are going to affect anybody else, the government. They're just there as a ceremonial position. Chief diplomat, this is where they're going to travel to foreign countries or welcome foreign dignitaries into the White House and things like that. Make treaties, make executive agreements. It's basically the foreign policy piece of their hats that they wear. Legislative leader, this is where they're going to try and help guide Congress. And you know, Congress does their own thing. Congress is their own entity, but they will work with the president. And as the legislative leader, the president has to try and get their agenda passed through Congress. So it takes some work to get that done. And then the chief economist, they are going to be concerned about the economy. Remember, the government fights two things, unemployment and inflation. All right, Department of Defense responsibilities. So they are typically going to be in charge of the armed forces, and they're also going to play a role in our national security. Now, they're going to work with some other agencies there, but the Department of Defense does play a role in providing national security. The purpose of the cabinet members, they are advisors to the president. So at the end of the day, the whole reason they were created was because of a line in Article 2 of the Constitution that says the president can request advice. And so they were created based on that by George Washington. The Secretary of the Interior responsibilities. So they're going to be very concerned about land issues and conservation issues and things like that. All right. I don't know if you're paying attention to what's going on out west, but several of the rivers and lakes out there that supply water to a lot of our western states is really low. So, the Department of Interior might be concerned about how can we conserve water in those areas. The Secretary of State responsibility, don't get mixed up. When I was your age, I used to think the Secretary of State dealt with stuff here in America, but the Secretary of State is going to be all about foreign policy, all right? So all the things that the president has to be concerned about going on around the world, that is going to be the Secretary of State's responsibility to help them. And they manage all the embassies that are out there. So whenever you become president and you name me as your ambassador to Fiji, I would answer to whoever you've chosen as your Secretary of State. All right, the presidential amendments. So the 12th, this created the multi-ballot for the president and vice president in the Electoral College up to this point. And there had only been three elections. Just the top two vote getters were president and vice president. And so we had a situation where John Adams was the president, Thomas Jefferson was the vice president, and they were political rivals. They didn't get along, and it wasn't good. So they created this amendment to take care of that. The 20th Amendment got rid of the lame duck period. So it used to be the president had the election in November. If they lost, they were still in office until March when the new president was inaugurated. So they decided to reduce that time because that's 5 months where a president, you know, people aren't going to really listen to them or work with them. So the country's kind of grind to a halt because of that. So they reduced it, and now it's January 20th is the new inauguration date for a president. The 22nd Amendment set term limits, so presidents can only serve 2 terms or 10 years, and we've talked about why they can do 10 years. It has to do with when they take over for a president with more or less than 2 years left. And then the 25th Amendment is going to set the line of succession, so if something happens to the president, then the vice president takes over, and then we get into the Secretary of State, and then go on down the line. All right, the powers of the president, very broad question here. And on the test, it's kind of a weirdly worded question, so just pay attention. But it asks you which is a formal or informal power of the president. So they have both, all right? Some formal powers of the president. They can pardon people. They can make appointments. They're the commander-in-chief. They're in charge of the military. Those are formal. They're in there. Some informal things would be executive orders. It doesn't really say that anywhere, but because they are able to direct and control the bureaucracy, they create these executive orders. Executive agreements are informal. So there are several things that are going to be both formal and informal. All right, the Attorney General responsibilities. So they're going to be in charge of some of the law enforcement agencies that are out there. So think FBI, ATF, DEA. All of them are charged with some kind of enforcement. You know, the FBI, they're really broad. They cover a lot of topics. But at the end of the day, they're going to be a law enforcement group. The ATF, they cover a lot of topics as well, but they're going to investigate and potentially press charges and not press charges, but arrest you for maybe you have illegal firearms or something like that. And then DEA is the Drug Administration. No electoral majority. So we're fixing to get into the Electoral College, but if no one gets the number that you need, which is 270, then it goes to the House for a vote. And so the House will decide who the new president is in case there is a tie in the Electoral College. We haven't had it happen since 1876, and that's that was how Reconstruction ended, because there was a tie, and the South made a deal. Hey, if you get people out of the South, meaning the military, then we'll name that Northern guy. I can't remember if it was Hayes or Tilden. It was one of them. I'm pretty sure it was Hayes. Then we'll make them the president, and they did. The basics for the Electoral College, remember, this is the group that's going to end up electing our president. You got to get to 270 of the votes. Each state is given a number based on their House of Representatives number and their senators. So every state is guaranteed to have at least 2 Electoral College votes because they got 2 senators. And then the other number varies. So Georgia, we have 16. So that means we have 14 districts, so 14 House seats and 2 senators. So that's our number. And then they run, and whoever wins the state gets those votes. So whoever wins Georgia in 2024 will get our 16 electoral votes. And you have to add up to 17. I mean, just to 17. I don't know why I just thought of the number 17. But you have to get the 270, okay? I think I was trying to combine. I don't know what I was doing. I have no idea, literally no idea. All right. Criticism of this thing is that the popular vote doesn't always decide who the president is. All right. We have had several instances in the past 25 years where a president has lost the popular vote but won the Electoral College, because it's all about the states you win. The impeachment process. So this is the ability to charge the president. Remember, the House of Representatives will charge the president. They will draw up the Articles of Confederation. They will vote. A simple majority gets the president impeached. It then goes to the Senate for a trial. The Senate is the one that will hear all the evidence, and they will decide if the president or a federal judge has been done something wrong enough, I guess, to be removed from office. So impeachment is not being kicked out. It's just that you've been charged. Presidential qualifications, remember, you have a 35, natural born citizen, and 14 years in the country. All right, the next thing is the presidential campaigns, and I put this on there, but just realize this. There are passages, and you have to answer questions. So I'm not going to go over their campaigns. I will say that social media is playing a bigger role in presidential campaigns. You know, every candidate is going to have a social media account or several accounts. But once again, you'll have to read a passage from a presidential campaign and make a decision there. All right, the more recent stuff, so the agencies, so independent executive agencies. Remember, these agencies, they're independent of the president, so they kind of can do their own thing. Now, the leadership gets picked by the president, but after that, they're really on their own, all right? And remember, they don't have that regulatory power that the regulatory commissions have. So NASA is an example of an independent agency, and they would like to regulate space. They would like to regulate space travel, probably, but they don't have that power and that ability. Regulatory commissions, however, do. So the independent regulatory commissions, they're also independent of the president, but they get to make up rules. They get to, you know, enforce those rules, and you can get in trouble with a regulatory commission. So there are, you know, probably not something that we're going to have to deal with, you know, right now or me in education, but there are industries out there that are regulated by some of these regulatory commissions. And they can face fines, and all kinds of charges can be brought because of the regulatory commissions. Government corporations, the most famous or the best examples, the Postal Service, they're supposed to be self-sufficient. They're supposed to be a business that makes money and runs itself. It doesn't always happen that way. And then the cabinet positions we've already talked about. Remember, those are those advisory positions that the president has. They're going to provide advice for the president. But at the end of the day, you know, they have to be worried about their agency. So sometimes the president and the cabinet members don't always see eye to eye, because the president wants to do one thing, but the cabinet in those positions need to do another. Executive orders, Securities and Exchange Commission responsibilities. So this is one of those regulatory commissions. They're going to be in charge of the stock market. Let me take a step back. They watch stuff that's happening on the stock market. The stock market does its own thing. Okay, the stock market is not truly regulated like that. However, they do watch what you're doing. So if you're trading on the stock market and things seem fishy, maybe you're looking at, you know, maybe you're doing something that's illegal, fraud, or whatever it might be, the SEC might come in and get you. So they're going to be the ones that try and protect, you know, consumers from those kinds of things. Sanctions. So we just did this on Tuesday, get my days mixed up, where you had a couple different sanctions to take a look at. The big one is typically going to be economic. That's typically what we're going to use in foreign policy, is we're going to sanction countries economically. So put tariffs on them, trade embargoes, and things like that. Executive orders, these are directives to the federal agencies. So the president might decide, you know what, DOJ, I'm giving you an executive order to do this. And they have to follow through with it. So that's why it's such a big deal. It does get around congressional approval. So the House nor the Senate gets to look at a executive order. So they are pretty powerful. However, they're not, I think people make a bigger deal about executive orders than they probably should or need to, just because it is really internal. Okay. It's something the president sends to these internal groups. Public opinion polls. Just remember, you got to do random sampling. Okay. So random sampling, meaning I can get an answer, you know, If I want to get a Republican-leaning answer to my poll, then I go talk to Republicans. If I want to get a Democratic-leaning answer, then I go talk to Democrats. So in order to be a valid poll, you really need to have a random group of people. Types of elections. So the general election, it takes place in November, and that's when there's a presidential person on the ballot. And so you will go vote for the president, and then all the other elections that follow along with it. So there'll be House seats up for re-election, There'll be Senate seats all over the place, local elections, and all those kinds of things in the general election. The primary, this is going to happen before the general. And so you need to remember that each party runs people to be the presidential nominee from that party. So, you know, Trump has already not announced he's going to run for the Republican nomination. There's other people that have said they're going to run as well. Nikki Haley, some other people haven't said they're going to run yet, but I think they probably will. Mike Pence, DeSantis from Florida. So all those people will be running for the Republican nomination. You'll get the chance to go vote for them in probably March of 2024 here in Georgia, if you're here in Georgia. And that's the primary, where you get to go pick the candidate for the party. The Democrats probably won't have a primary, at least if Biden runs. If Biden does not run, that'll open them up to a primary. The midterm election, that's just the one that's in the middle of the presidential term. So we just had one in 2022, and there is no president on that. It is just going to be, it's just going to be the House and the Senate seats. All right, treaties and executive agreements. Remember, treaties have to be approved by the Senate. Executive agreements do not. They're both deals and agreements with foreign countries. Purpose of the National Convention is to pick the nominee. So the Republicans will hold their National Convention, and that's where they will make it official. Whoever won the primaries will become the Republican nominee for president. The Democrats, if Joe Biden runs again, it'll be a foregone conclusion that he's going to be the nominee, and so it'll be more of just a big party to support the president. And then Homeland Security was created after 9/11, and it's designed to protect us from domestic and foreign terrorism. All right, guys, that is the review. Once again, if you fill all that out, you can get extra credit on the test. Just submit it to the Google Classroom Dropbox. If you have questions or concerns, you can always reach out to me. I'm happy to try and answer questions up until about 10 o'clock, and then I'm at school around 6:15. So find a way, if you have questions, to get up with me so I can help you out. Best of luck on the test, and I'll see you in class. All right, guys, take care. Bye-bye.